Hi, y'all.
Hi. Bing.
Thank you. Wake up. Come on. Let's wake up now. It's been a long 2 weeks that I haven't seen you, and I am glad to be back with you this Sunday. After driving halfway across the country and back, it's nice to be somewhere where you kind of know where everything is. Our epistle lesson today is from Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the first 10 verses. Listen for God's word. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. What a wonderful long sermon this book of Hebrews is, this letter, if you might say, but it is truly about a 40 to 45 minute sermon. And some denominations actually use that to time how long a pastor should talk and give a sermon every day. And so today, having been gone for a couple of weeks, I'm going to give you a 45-minute sermon. And the people who were smart enough to stay home today are laughing at you for being here. I'm sorry. No, not that long. I promise. It will go just a little shorter than that. It is indeed a sermon that was sent to bring encouragement and understanding of what God has done for them in Jesus Christ to these people who were in a far place that needed some encouragement. Bathing in the scriptures, this sermon goes over again and again all of the things that Christ has done for them and how they should respond to that in their lives. He quotes much of lots of parts from the Old Testament, bringing into them the light of Jesus and what's that mean and what his ministry means to them today as well as us this day. He or she, whoever wrote this, is especially talking about their daily walk with Christ and how important it is to have that, a daily walk with their Savior. And in this 5th chapter, there is this beginning and talking about this business of sacrifice and suffering and submission and obedience. It is these things that in this passage that we read to you this morning that he says are the things that not helped Christ, but made Jesus become the person that God could use to bring salvation to humanity. Suffering. Submission and obedience. They are very descriptive words, and they match what we hear in Scripture again and again and again. Suffering, submission, and obedience. These are not exactly the call words of the American nation, are they? Do you remember the last president who got elected by saying, "We need to suffer, we need to submit, we need to be obedient"? That's because there's never been one who was stupid enough to say that. We've had a lot of stupid candidates over the years, but none of them has said that. Because it is not a part of who we are. It is not something we accept as our lot in life. Not really. It is a hard sell. But God knows that it is the only way for any of us to walk in the steps of Jesus and truly be happy in God's kingdom. They are descriptive words, and they do match what we hear in Scripture. And today's passages are much in the same vein. The Gospel of Mark, when the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John because they were arguing about who was the greatest. And James and John had gone off to try to get some special favors from Jesus, a better seat in the kingdom to come. You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great must become your servant. Submission. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be a slave to all. Obedience. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Suffering. You might say, well, gosh, that was really good, but how does Job even come close to this passage that was read about God, who pretty much picks Job up and says, wait a minute, I know you've had it tough for a while, but if you want me to come, let's talk. I am the creator of everything. What do you know? Were you there? When? If you really want to dive into the splendor of who God is, read those pages in Job. Beautiful poetry telling us of power and might beyond anything we can imagine. God calls Job to step back for a moment and think about all the things that he does not know. He tells him to be obedient, to be submissive. Job is already suffering. It is a theme that runs throughout our scriptures. And perhaps there's no place in the Bible that says it better than Philippians. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Obedient. Being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself submissively and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Submission, obedience, suffering. The writer of Hebrews tells us that is how Christ achieved the goal, accomplished the goal of becoming this priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It is in submission, obedience, and suffering that we too join into that priestly time. Well, at least you should. And we say, but wait a minute, Keith, you're the only one with robes on. We've kind of made it easy in the United States. This Christianity thing, we kind of nestled it down a little bit. We hire a professional Christian, and the rest of us just show up at church and do what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be priests. I'm not either, technically. But as far as scriptures go, that is who we are all supposed to be. How about this one? From 2 Peter. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That scripture is talking about all of us. A royal priesthood. called each and every one of us to be just as submissive, obedient, and to suffer for our Lord as he did for us. And if you have ever sat with a communicants class and you start talking about this, you quickly get questioned by 12 to 13 year olds, which are really bright kids. Let me tell you, if you want to get the truth out of somebody, just sit with a 13 year old for a while and talk about God. And the first time I ever did, the question came out, why does God need me to give God anything? If God has the cattle from a thousand hills, why do I need to put money in a collection plate? If God can speak the world into being, why do I need to give up things myself, my own independence, my own what I want to do and doing what I want to do instead of listening for God? If God can do whatever he wants, then why do I have to be submissive and obedient? Why do I have to suffer? Good question. One that we probably don't ask ourselves enough. You see, because the answer is not because God needs it. It's because God knows what we need to be truly happy. God gives us the opportunity to understand what giving of ourselves can really do for us. How very happy in God's kingdom we can be. God gives us the opportunity to grow out of the selfish people that we are. The people like the disciples that were quarreling over who would get to be first in the kingdom of heaven. Well, guess what? None of you. God is first, last, and only. The rest of us are just there. And God knows that we need to give to God all that we have if we are going to be the people of God. What does that really mean for us? Well, my priest, it will mean, one, that you will have to give up believing that you are the smartest person in a room. As my 7th grade history teacher once said to me, "Keith, do you really believe you're smarter than everybody else?" I said, "I'm 12, of course I do. I've learned everything, I'm brilliant." I didn't say that, but that was kind of what I was feeling. And she looked at me and said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "I am." And she said, "Then you are never the smartest thing in the room." And I knew exactly what she was talking about. If God is everywhere, guess what? We're not even close to the smartest thing in the room. Our egos get in the way so often that we do not listen. We do not submit ourselves to listen to our God, to be subservient, obedient to what God is telling us to do. We're too busy building up our own power of coercion and letting people know how bright we are when we should be quiet and listen for what God says is true. This week, as we look at our stewardship season, which we've done. We're great Presbyterians. We're very economical. We've gotten it down to 8 days. Most people do a whole month, so we're good. You're only going to have to listen to this for this week and next, perhaps. Don't think about how much that you have do you need to give to God. Think more about what God gives to you every single day. Understand that whatever you have is a gift from God, and God asks us to return it so that what he has given us won't be a snare to us in life and will become a way for us to join in God's ministry in the world. And it is a way that God helps us to understand that we are called to be submissive to God, to be obedient to God, and be a servant to God. Not only today, but every day. Will there be suffering? Yes. At least in our own minds, there will be suffering. I pray this week that God's Spirit leads and guides us all to emulate Christ and to not turn aside, but to follow God's path, the one God has chosen for us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen.